A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 466. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a special bonus episode because it is the 70th anniversary of 1984. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are talking about the 70th anniversary of the BBC adaptation of George Orwell's 1984 that broadcast in 1954.
We are indeed. We like to cover some important anniversaries of key shows that we've covered. And if you're listening on the day of release of this episode, exactly 70 years to the day since 12th of December 1954. And of course, this was a production by Rudolph Cartier and Nigel Neal. Who else?
Yes, indeed. So this was the director and the writer behind Quatermass. Only a year after Quatermass was introduced with the Quatermass experiment, we have their adaptation of 1984. We have discussed it before. We covered this version of 1984 back in 2008 for British Invaders 59 and 60.
And you can find those episodes on our website at britishinvaders.com. Easy to search for. But also I'll post some links on Facebook, Instagram and Threads when this comes out. So as you say, Brian, produced and directed by Rudolph Cartier.
Yeah, and we had Nigel Neal doing the adaptation. So as we say, Neal and Cartier back only a year after introducing Quatermass. And this was only 5 years after George Orwell's novel was published in 1949. It was written in 1948 and published in 1949. And the production starred Peter Cushing and André Morel, along with Yvonne Mitchell and Donald Pleasence. So it was a very strong cast delivering this, of course, very strong story.
Doing it like a TV play, I guess, Brian, with a mixture of live to camera performance, but also with some pre-filmed inserts, which they had, particularly for exterior shots.
Yes, that's right. And it was in an era when television dramas were often done live. And this was. Most of it was performed live to camera to broadcast. It was before video recording, although they could transfer that to film, which this was, of course, and they could insert pieces of film, but they couldn't record in the video format.
And I think safe to say that this BBC adaptation of the Orwell classic was groundbreaking. It was disturbing. It was a very powerful production. It produced an awful lot of comment, criticism, and a fair degree of controversy.
Yes, absolutely. For us, it's hard to imagine a time when a television network could say that they were doing George Orwell's 1984 and people wouldn't know what to expect.
Now, of course, we talked about this, the reactions, the reviews, the discussions that happened in Parliament when we talked about this back in episode 60, which you've mentioned, Brian. And we also discussed the decision and some of the back and forth that went on for the next 4 days about whether they would go ahead with a second performance on December the 16th. Thankfully, we know that they did, because that was the performance that was tele-recorded and has survived to this day, thank goodness.
Yes, it's the second performance is the one that we can watch. And yeah, there were these parliamentary discussions and questions of whether the BBC would be allowed to perform and broadcast this a second time. And fortunately, they were.
Astonishing stuff.
Now, when we talked about this in 2008, we had no official release, and it was something you could watch on the Internet Archive, which is how we presented it at the time. But fortunately, in 2022, the BFI produced a definitive release on DVD and Blu-ray. They really did a great job with that. It has lots of extra features, including a commentary track from John Deere, Toby Haydock, and Nigel Neal's biographer, Andy Murray. And they also have this late night lineup show from 1965 with the original cast looking back at their performance and their production. So that's on there too, as is Into the Unknown, a lecture about Nigel Neal by Toby Haydock and Andy Murray, who, you know, are experts on that. There's also something called Ministry of Truth, where TV historian Dick Fiddy from the BFI, the British Film Institute, talks to media journalist Oliver Wake about some of the myths surrounding that production.
And I don't think we can stress enough what a lovely release this is from the BFI, with these extra features, the two-disc option. You've got both the DVD and the Blu-ray in there. You've got a wonderful and very comprehensive production notes booklet. There's image galleries on the discs. There is PDFs of the original script on the discs. All in all, it's a remarkable release. And of course, they've been able to do restoration on the surviving tele-recordings, particularly, and this is fascinating to me, Brian, they found the original 35mm filmed inserts. These were the exterior location shots that were sort of inserted during the live performance. And the actual film was found surviving in the BBC archive. Remarkable.
Yes, so we actually have 35mm to high definition transfer for those inserts. And that's a transfer that works very well coming from 35mm. So we get that. And it's interesting because at that time they were doing these things on 35mm, where later the BBC would downgrade to doing most things on 16mm when they were doing film. So it's remarkable to have that better film stock for those inserts.
So it is remarkable. And I'll note that this wonderful presentation from the BFI is still available for $16.99 over here. You can also rent it, and you can watch just the film itself on Amazon Video for £6. But I'm going to say, Brian, this is a BFI release you probably want to own if you can. What about the availability over there?
Yeah, so there is no official availability for Region 1, but I believe that Blu-ray is actually region free, and there are imports available on Amazon from various importers. I see them at the moment for about $21 US and $29 Canadian.
Okay. Yes, I suspect you're right. The Blu-ray you can probably play, and if you've got a region-free DVD player, you're probably all right as well.
Yes, that's right.
So our thoughts in brief about 1984 at 70, and particularly about this release from the British Film Institute. I know I always say this when we do anniversaries, Brian, but it's almost impossible to overstate the importance of this show in the history of British television science fiction.
Yeah, that's right. It's very influential. It was quite an early thing in terms of science fiction television broadcasts on the BBC, and as an adaptation of a novel like that, it was important as well. And I suspect it probably helped to make more people aware of the novel 1984 in the UK, because it was still a relatively new book at that point.
Absolutely. And of course, if we look at or talk about some of the names involved in this production, Cartier, Neal, Cushin and Andre Morel, just giants in Jorge Bryan.
Yeah, absolutely. And Donald Pleasence as well. You know, you have some really interesting people involved with this. I'll note another production tidbit here. They have orchestral music for the incidental music in this, and that was played live in the studio next door to the studio where the actors were. There was an orchestra playing the music that was being piped in.
Astonishing. These moments from 1950s television.
It's incredibly ambitious for a live TV broadcast. So it's wonderful to see that and to have the Blu-ray and so on. And yeah, we thought it was worth marking this 70th anniversary.
Very much so. One of our favorite shows from the 1950s?
Yes, absolutely. And one of sort of the big discoveries for me of things that I wasn't aware of in British television until we looked at it for British Invaders. So for me, it was quite a discovery to find it.
Hugely exciting. I have rewatched it from this box set this week for this anniversary show, and it retains its power to shock and to move me. And of course, I can't emphasize this enough. This BFI box set is wonderful. Get it, because we know that the BFI don't always keep these things on the shelf forever. So get this box set. It is just remarkable, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, it's definitely a recommended one for sure.
Couldn't be more recommended by British Invaders. Yeah, you know, one of our favourite shows that we've ever covered, and now available on a beautiful box set from the British Film Institute. Get it while you can.
Yes, yeah, so happy anniversary to this wonderful production of 1984.
Indeed, and how grateful we are that they did get permission to go ahead with the second broadcast and second performance.
Yes, indeed.
So, come back and join us next time. We're returning to our regular schedule with the second part of our discussion of some more recent ghost stories for Christmas. In particular, we'll be focusing on the story The Dead Room. That's what's coming up on our next episode.
Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And we are on Threads and Instagram as well. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
We are indeed. You can also find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, which you will find at VogueNetwork.com. Drop by the Voice of Geeks for podcasts, gaming content, streaming, and much, much more at VogueNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, this is Eamon from a telescreen in England, reminding you that Big Brother is still watching you.